to the Better Golf Podcast, powered by Wynn Daily Sports, where bettors go to bet better. Here are your hosts, Tee Off Sports and Sticks Picks.
Better Golf Pod Nation, I hope everyone out there is doing well, and I appreciate you joining us here today as Nick and I run through this week's Memorial Tournament. If you aren't doing so already, you can follow Nick on Twitter at Sticks Picks. That is STIXPICKS. You can also follow me at Tee Off Sports. But let's get right into the show this week, man. How's everything going for you?
Good. Very positive. Colonial event. Didn't have an outright winner. Didn't really get close. I was so heavily exposed. Can't talk today. Great to Tony Finau. Man, I don't know. He hit 3-putt 18 to miss a cut. Obviously, we needed much more than, you know, just making the cut and finishing 45th, 50th, whatever the case would have been if he just kind of didn't step on the gas at all weekend, but missing the cut really hurt. He was in almost all of my lineups of the, I think I made six, as I mentioned on Twitter, but my top 40 market was 2022-esque, which I love to see that. Andrew Putnam, top 40 was cashing. Aaron Rye, Russ Henley, hammer kit. I put way too much money on that. Again, it's like last year, we beat the closing line so many times, and that was clearly a misprice for the Camby shops of Barstool and Bet Rivers. If you guys still are allowed to bet on those, usually there's one a week that sticks out like a sore thumb. Obviously, a bad price, but I also want to believe in the player. I thought it was a great course for Henley. I didn't really think he had winning upside, just again with how inept of a putter he is and how loaded that tournament actually was. I thought it was probably the best field that Charles Schwab has had in some years. Matthew Neesmith was a bit of a bummer. Fell apart on the back nine on Sunday. He should have been an easy top 40. I think was the second highest ticket that I punched. It certainly was. Obviously outside of Henley. Other than that, pretty good. Mark Hubbard, top 40. That was all you. Austin Eckroat, top 40 was another one that I got around to late, I think right after our show, but it was on the sheet. If you guys are interested in having that sheet, just pretty much tracks all my bets for the year on PGA and NFL, the occasional MLB if I'm bored. But yeah, other than that, really good. You're going to need an outright the way that I play my card to have a massive week, but I'll take plus one and a half, two units every single week. As much as I wanted to be excited about the Memorial, this was the best betting card that I had, I believe, in all of 2022 when Billy Horschel came in at 66-1. Billy Horschel came in top 40. Chan Kim did not come in top 40, but he was in the field. So I was looking back at the card. I was like, damn, what happened to him? He's still my favorite player. But what are your thoughts for this week? Overall, I think pricing is dead on in DFS for the most part. I don't think I really have any issues. I mean, I guess really the only thing that was a little bit of a question mark was Jordan Spieth, maybe even Hideki being under 9K. But again, they're probably playing just the recent form and Spieth injury and all that good stuff, whatever the case may be there. Betting wise, I absolutely hate it. Really couldn't find a whole lot. So I'll just go through my card real quick, go through years. We'll whip into the DFS and get out of here. But my outrights are gross. I don't think I have a shot in hell of winning, but I did have a little bit of an edge on these players. Keegan Bradley, 80-1 FanDuel. Shane Lowry, 55-1 FanDuel. Keith Mitchell, 150-1. That was more of a heart play FanDuel. Of course, we'll get into Will Gordon this week. I always got to bet him, especially when it's over, you know, longer than 300-1. He is 400-1 on PointsBet, and I believe FanDuel as well. Hideki, 40. I took Cam Young Monday right when I saw the odds come out at 40-1. That was bet MGM. That's also where I believe Hideki is at 40-1. I don't think I like Cam Young now that I kind of dove into all the proximity data. Recent form obviously is going to be a little bit of concern there. And then I took the shortest I went down the board is Colin Morikawa at 25-1. My numbers had him pretty close to that, but that was the only guy at the top of the board that I had. And Ed Jones was like, what? I got him at 24.3-1. So 0.7 points of value. This is a new low for me. Good for that. But top 40 markets discussing is Harris English top 40 at plus 120. Again, that's kind of riding the recent form, and that scares me a little bit. I would have liked to got a bigger number there, but my numbers have him at minus 150, and most of the market does as well, right around that range. Sam Stevens plus 250, Davis Thompson plus 350, and Adam Svensson plus 190, all top 40. Pretty gross. Like, I wish there was kind of like a Henley guy. Like, I guess English would be the biggest value on my betting board in terms of my numbers compared to the market. I just don't know if I'm ready to trust Harris English yet. I know he's on absolute tear. The month of May has been fantastic for him, but I don't know that it's, there's going to be no hammer kit. It would be English if I were to push it, but I'm not going to do it. Cause again, I just don't think I trust Harris English.
Yeah. It's an interesting tournament, Nick. So I guess when you ask me, what do I think about this event in general? It's the second biggest loss of a tournament over the last 4 years of me running this. That's never a good thing when you give
it's that a complete answer. Opposite.
I mean, I remember you hitting this last year and I've just never found any success. And a lot of it came from 2020 when I just got absolutely burned in this tournament. Like I lost 6 units that week alone. That's one of the biggest losses I've taken in these recommendations, but I don't know. Like I think from a course perspective, and I don't want to talk too much about the course before we get into this, 150 yards obviously got added to this venue in 2021. I kind of think that that changed the trajectory of this venue more so. Like, I think the initial thing when I looked at it is you see distance added and you think bomb and gouge and you think all of those answers, but the rough is so thick here and the greens are so fast. And you kind of see this in the output when you get like, you get over 71% driving accuracy last season. The GIR percentage drops to sub 60%. So for me, that kind of shows that these guys are making a concerted effort to try to hit the fairway because of the punishment that does come into play if you do miss a fairway here. I don't know if that necessarily means, you know, good drive percentage or driving accuracy or anything like that. Like, I'd rather try to mimic it to courses that have long rough that are easy to hit fairways and try to find golfers that have found success at those sort of venues. And that's kind of where I get different on my answers. And I kind of like Cam Young this week. He's an outright that I bet at 40-1, and I still like him right now more than I think you do, it sounds like, with it. But I'm kind of willing to overlook what Cam Young produced just because he had his illness. He lost a bunch of weight. I know he says he feels healthy and back now. He competed in this tournament last year in his first attempt, shot an 84 on Sunday, which is absolutely brutal. And
I thought he shot 80 and then 84. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what you want to see, but like, I kind of think this is one of the better opportunities for him to win an event. So I grabbed him at 40. I've seen that number drift even higher than that. There's 45s out there, I think, if you really shop around, or at least there were earlier today, but I got 40. I also took Hideki at 40. That's kind of been a number that's been just stagnant at any place that you're trying to find. I took Sungjae Im early on Monday at 40-1. That number kind of took a nosedive. That seems to be an every week answer to where I am on Sungjae. The market respects Sungjae. He moves in this direction. And, you know, at some point, my numbers, I'm hoping, will end up backing what I see there. I took Ricky Fowler at 45-1. That feels gross to even say, but I had value at that number. I think he's really back at this point. Siwoo Kim at 80, that number is another one that took a complete nosedive. And then I grabbed Keegan Bradley at 100-1. I have some concerns with that, Nick. Like, I don't know if he actually can win this tournament. And that's kind of where my problem comes into it. Like, he's probably a better top 10 or 20 bet than anything. Like, he's not inside the top 10 of any of the statistical categories that I ran. Although he's kind of trending in that area of, you know, 10th or 11th to 25th in a lot of areas there. So I like him. I don't know if they necessarily think he's going to win, but that would be my outright card. The placement card, I do have a top 40 that I kind of like that I'd like to get your opinion on. And maybe this is more of me not necessarily respecting distance as much as others are. I think Christian Bezuidenhout, top 40 at plus 160, was a really intriguing price. I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
I'm indifferent. I think, what was the price you got again?
160.
160. I have it at 145. So it'd be close. I mean, obviously we've talked about how good he is on Bankgrass. And again, I did value distance a little bit more than accuracy just because the fairways are rather wide. So total driving, I guess, was more of a thing for me this week than usually is. But the course history is that I saw in your model, you weighted it pretty heavily.
I did. Yeah.
This week. I know it is one of the more predictive courses out there. And what does he grade? He grades out overall 20th for you in your numbers and 17th for safety. I mean, usually I would trust your judgment. He's never missed the top 40 in this event in the last 5 years, to my knowledge. So I don't see why not. The only difference here is, and this is why I didn't really like Harris English as much either, is just because it is an elevated event now. And the field's always, you know, relatively strong, but it is absolutely loaded this week. And outside of Spieth, and I guess if you want to pair Cameron Young in there, everybody's in pretty decent form. Like Rory finally got it going at the PGA. We don't really have to worry about is his game in a bad place. You know, Corey Connors is in good form. I don't know if I want to put him up there, but the market absolutely loves Corey Connors. Yeah. I saw that Keegan was a decent sized dog to him at Pinnacle. Does that worry you at all with Keegan? But I guess and overall, I would say trust your numbers. I don't love it just for the sake of, you know, again, it's a loaded field and Bazadenhout really hasn't done a whole lot in loaded fields. What has he done in the last PGA Championship was cut. Like T21 at the Charles Schwab, like that's a perfect course for him. And if that's his upside, it doesn't really impress me. RBC Heritage, that's a great course for him. Obviously, he finished inside the top 20 there. That was an elevated event, Players Championship, another semi, I guess, good course. I know it's long there, but you don't really play long. So I don't know. He's safe looking at that resume right there. Everything top he's 40. Done this year in, yeah, he's a walking top 40 for the most part. I know the PGA got him a little bit there, but yeah, I don't think it's bad. If your numbers have an edge there, I'd say fire away because everything that, you know, we're looking at right now says he's comfortable at this venue for sure.
Yeah. I don't know what his upside actually is for all the reasons that you said. I think as a top 40 wager, I thought plus 160 seemed a little too large there. And then I guess to answer the Keegan question, I worry a little bit about the course history. Like that's one of the alarming things. Like I punched the ticket because 100-1 had value for me. And then the more I started running the numbers with it, like there were a lot of answers that I just did not love as much with it. Like obviously I talked about he's not inside the top 10 of any statistical number that I've looked into this week. And usually the winner of this event will have at least popped in that area once or twice. Like it's extremely rare. Like I posted in my Roto Ball or DraftKings article, like all the top 10s from everybody. It is extremely rare that a player does not at least crack the top 10 in one of those areas and then goes on and wins the event. So it might be a little bit too aggressive on the Keegan outright. And I think from like a comparison standpoint, I do prefer Corey Connors to Keegan. So that's not necessarily a reason that I would get off of Keegan. I think Connors makes a lot of sense this week. I don't love the ownership around him, but I'm not necessarily going to avoid Keegan either. I think he's a really savvy DFS play because of the ownership. I think he's a really intriguing potential to be a top 10 or 20 bet here. But there are risks. And I think anytime that there's risks, like that kind of plays out. And fine with that at 100-1. I'd be fine with it at 80-1, but I would just temper expectations there a little bit. I took Adam Svensson, like you did, at plus 190. I took Ches Reavie, which I don't think I've ever bet Reavie in my entire life, plus 280 for a top 40. I thought it was a really good number. Like we're looking at a golfer here. He's trending with five top 50 finishes in his last six starts. The expected way to tee to green is 47 spots above his expected baseline on a random course. I thought this was a juiced up number for a lot of reasons. And it's not necessarily a golfer that I'm expecting to go out and win this event, but come in 31st place, do something like that. Like that's all I'm asking for out of him. So I like that wager. And then the last one that I will mention, I did take Hideki Matsuyama minus 110 over Sam Burns. A lot of that is this head-to-head market is really weak this week. Like this is one of my least favorite head-to-head boards that I have found, but Burns of anybody that you want to call the top 15 or 20 favorites in this tournament, he was the most mispriced golfer in the wrong direction that I could find. I did not like him. I don't know what your numbers have on Burns this week, Nick, but Hideki kind of takes the opposite approach where he's like a legitimate, depending on how I run this 5, 6, 7 option in this field. And I think it's one of those spots where Hideki has quietly been trending in the right direction again after a really slow start to the year that really plummeted him down most people's boards to the points where nobody wanted to play him. And we just see every single week now he's producing top 30 results over and over again. And I've always been a proponent that these venues that mitigate putting, that give you fast bent grass greens, you can think of like the Masters in that, this sort of a tournament. Anytime that putting gets neutralized and the ball striking gets emphasized, that's where Hideki has his best win equity. I don't necessarily need that win equity against a golfer like Sam Burns if we're just talking about a head-to-head matchup there, but there's a lot of iterations of this market where I am willing to play Hideki. Like for me, he's probably, I mean, there's a handful of players, but I would say Cam Young is more boom or bust for me this week. I really like him for DFS. I really like the upside that he possesses. I'm not necessarily rushing out there to go put him into a head-to-head matchup because of some of the downside qualities that he has. But Hideki for me is one of those golfers. If you want to talk about him in a matchup, I'm willing to listen. If you want to talk about him as an outright, I'm willing to listen. Sure, there's placement markets where he makes a lot of sense. So for me, he's probably one of my favorite players this week.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love Decky. Don't remember what he was scoring, but he had to he got DQ'd pretty early last year for a substance on the driver.
Yeah,
I guess it was paint, right?
I think he was my one and done pick last year. And I remember that he was not producing very well at the time that he had withdrawn. Like, I want to say he was trending in one of those directions where either he was going to miss or he needed to put it together, if I recall correctly with it. But yeah, I don't know. One and done contests for me the past season have not gone in the right direction for whatever reason. I was did really well for like 2-3 years in those contests where I never missed a cut. Everybody was competing. I was earning $10+ million in every single contest that I did. And I can't make a cut right now. It's the wildest thing.
I start hot and then fade exactly like we're doing in our Action Network one. But for the reasons you said you like Hideki, that's the reasons I like Keegan too. Like also yeah. His short game, his putting and his around the green game is the best it's been in his career. Again, it's we talk about it often. A lot of this betting market too, the public loves course history and they're going to see Keegan, you know, quote unquote struggles here. Similar to Wyndham Clark. Like we're seeing a little bit. I'm not saying he's, you know, he's certainly not as improved as Wyndham Clark. Like he went from a mediocre ball striker to one of the top 10 on tour. That's impressive. We talk about that every show. I just am obsessed with whatever Wyndham Clark is doing this year. But Keegan Bradley, in terms of short game and putting, is night and day from what he was a couple of years ago. So continuously getting better there, grinding it out. Obviously a fantastic ball striker. So I like him here. But
I think one of the things with Wyndham Clark versus Keegan Bradley, too, that's at least worth mentioning here. And I'm not necessarily saying it so much this week, although I thought when head-to-head markets opened up, I was intrigued by Siwoo Kim over Wyndham Clark. I do think Clark has hit this portion right now of wherever he's at to where he's gone in the wrong direction a little bit these last couple tournaments. I'm willing to ignore that. I'm not saying that's necessarily discouraging. My model doesn't love him this week, but I'm also kind of at the point where I think the market has overinflated him ever so slightly because of his recent win. Where you can take the opposite of that with Keegan, where I still don't think anybody really wants to play him in any iteration of the market. And that's kind of what I'm trying to find are these golfers to where everybody's looking the other direction. You might be able to sneak a finish out of this that people don't see coming. And I keep going back to this answer. Maybe that's a DFS answer above anything else, but there's a couple golfers in the world. I would say Hideki, Keegan are probably the top two that I think of when I think of this answer. Maybe Sungjae to an extent also, but when scoring gets harder, Cameron Young historically has shown that, Will Zalatoris showed that in the past, but when scoring gets more difficult, some of these guys just have more of a potential to win. And for me, Keegan kind of checks those boxes to where if putting is going to get mitigated and ball striking is going to get enhanced, this is the event to where he can pencil himself into a leaderboard at some point where he's on the first page. And really, if you can just get to the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday with a real shot to win, you never know what's going to happen. It's golf. There's a lot of volatility. We see last week, Emiliano Grillo, you know, he hits it into that moving river and he looks like he's going to lose. And then all of a sudden he wins after not winning a tournament in 8 years. So if you can just get into that position, anything can happen. And that's kind of the one reason why initially I punched the ticket on Keegan is the ball striking leads me to believe that he can work himself up this leaderboard, maybe more so at this event than you would expect at some tournaments. And it's the same answer I would give for Siwoo Kim this week. I know Siwoo has won some big tournaments. I know he's won this season, but I don't know if I've had an expected weighted tee to green number like I've gotten on Siwoo Kim as I had for him this week. Like he's the 7th projected player for me in weighted tee to green. That's as high as he has ever been. And a lot of that comes down to the approach numbers, the around the green game. And I think all of those things are going to play heavily this week.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'd be all for a Siwoo win. We know that. You want to go right into DFS?
Let's do it.
10K and above. We got Xander, Cantlay Chalk. It's hard to say anything bad about Cantlay. Every show you listen to is going to talk about the course history. So obviously everything looks fantastic there. Rory, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler. Pick 2, fade 1.
This is where I think pricing is the most correct of any of the areas. This is what's so difficult about it. Like, I don't have a natural fade candidate in this range, even when you consider ownership. I think all 5 players should be warranted under consideration. I don't think anybody should be initially removed from a player pool without trying to run a deeper dive into this. I don't know if I have an answer for you right now, Nick. All five of them essentially look like the same play to me. The one difference is Rory has more volatility to him than the other four. He also has less ownership. I mean, I'm seeing 7, 8, 9% less. So you might be able to get some sort of a leverage answer with him, but I think this is as razor tight and close as I have seen a top end section in a really long time.
Scotty or Rahm, if you had to choose.
It's so damn tough.
Cause
like, I don't know. They're the same.
I was going to fade Rory, but I don't think I can. I may fade Cantlay.
I think the one answer with Cantlay, I don't know if I want to fade. I guess to answer the first question, I guess I'll say Rahm just because of the course history. I mean, like obviously his WD in 2021 should have been a victory. He was up by a million shots. All of a sudden Cantlay doesn't get that win. Then, I mean, you can move that to a second place finish, but man, is anybody playing better tee to green that you've ever seen than Scottie Scheffler at this point? And if I keep giving the answer of mitigating putting and enhancing tee to green play and talking about ball striking, like this feels like a Scottie Scheffler win base off of that answer.
No, this is the best too. When I was doing some like pulling data for, you know, key metrics that I was looking at this week, overall, just bent grass scoring, he's fifth. Proximity and relative to par scoring from 175 to 200, which obviously a lot of iron shots are coming from there. Probably a little shorter for Scotty, so I did include other areas of proximity with Scotty, but he's ninth in that one relative to par from 100 to 125. So they're shorter shots when you can't get there on the par fives or the short par fours. Scotty second, total driving. Scotty is second relative to par from 250 plus. So all those, if you watch the Tiger video of all the, you know, massive three wood, three irons he's hitting from 260 plus to get to these par fives, Scotty Scheffler is third. What is he? Obviously putting is his issue right now, but yeah, tee to green, unbelievable what he is doing right now. Like he's John Rahm's up there on a lot of these, but he's blowing John Rahm out of the water. I mean, and that it's nuts. I mean, John Rahm is incredibly impressive in the same categories that I was pulling. But Scotty's just on another planet right now. So yeah, I would like to play as much Scotty as I can. There's just nothing wrong with him. Obviously the putter, but does the putter, what are your bent grass? I think it's bad, right?
Bad, yeah. Very, very bad.
So does that worry you, or is just everything else so good that it doesn't matter, especially when you don't need to make a ton of birdies to survive here?
I've given a very similar answer for him recently, and it hasn't necessarily come to fruition, but I do think this is a really pure surface that might be able to help him to make more putts. Like at some point the putts are going to drop and he's going to run away with this tournament and it's going to be brutal. Like we're going to be there on Sunday and he's going to be up by 7 shots. And I'm kind of a little bit afraid that's going to happen this week. And I just want to touch on the tee to green numbers this season because it is outrageous. So he has gained 2.567, Rory 1.840, so 0.70 difference. The difference between first and second there is essentially the difference from Rory to like the numbers that I have on Brendan Steele. Like that's how good Scotty has been tee to green compared to every other player that's on tour. And at any point that the putts start dropping, he's going to win. So I don't know. I guess the one answer that I will give to this that I'm okay with the ownership with most of these plays. And if you want to tell me just like right now, the way that I'm standing with it, I'd rather just get really, really aggressive in this $10,000 plus section. And if that means that I almost primarily don't play any of these $9,000 golfers, I'm also okay with that and just remove almost the entire mix from my player pool.
All right, let's go to the 9K range because I like just a few of them and they're all very low owned. So Fitz, I think I'll probably keep at 9K if he's going to be sub 10%. I'm seeing 9% now. Sungjae, 10% on the button. JT, 13%. I don't mind that. I have Hatton at 17 at 9,300. I find that hard to believe, but I will be out on Tyrrell Hatton. And then Victor Hovland, 9,700, 15% owned. I will be out on that all day. Jason Day, he graded out very well for me. I know he likes this spot too. I like Morikawa, Jason Day. Yeah. I guess I'll play JT just because it's 9,200 JT. He certainly can go pop anytime. Sungjae, I like if everybody's going to be down on him. And then Fitzpatrick, we'll see
if I decide that I like Cameron. As of now, I like Cameron Young and Hideki more, and probably Ricky more than Fitz, so I'll probably just bail on Fitz. But if that ownership goes to like 5, 6, 7%, I'll probably get in on Matt Fitz. But I am going to play Morikawa this week. I know you never like him. I never like him. He's going to be sub 10%. I guarantee you that. And he checks every single box for me. So I'm going to play him.
There's only three golfers in this section that I even want to consider or want to have any exposure to. And I can make this very simple. So I am fine with Colin Morikawa, which I never am. I am fine with Justin Thomas. I'm fine with Sung J.M. Pretty much every other name in that range, whether it's Hovland, Day, Hatton, Fitz, I'm fine. Just not, I'm playing like 0%.
Fair. It makes sense too, with how much you like the 10K range.
Yeah. I think you have to make a decision there. And a lot of my win equity is coming up in that top section, and I'm completely fine. Like, I have a little bit higher ownership on Morikawa just because I think a lot of people think of the 2021 finish from him here. And I don't think it's going to be much more than 10%. And I hope you're, if it's sub 10%, definitely sign me up there. But I don't know, Nick. Like, to me, the majority of these players are overvalued when you compare them directly to the $10,000 golfers. And then to make the matters worse, it kind of goes back to the same answer that you just talked about, where I would rather play Cameron Young or Hideki over any of those other names that I've talked about.
Fair. All right. 8K range. You know, we love Cam Young, Hideki. I think Ricky's just a very safe player. I think he's a walking top 20 these days, and the results are showing it. 8,500. I think that's a fair price. I don't think I like anybody else besides Siwoon Lowry. I'm not going to play Adam Scott. I'm going to continue to fade him. It's going to continue to probably kill me, especially when I look at your rankings and I see sixth overall. Oh, man. Something about his iron play. Everything else is amazing.
It's been shaky.
Yeah, everything else is amazing. I can't do it.
Scott's another.
Especially, I'm seeing 18%. At the PGA, he was awesome, though. His iron play is fantastic.
Scott's another player. I keep going back to this answer that I think when the scoring becomes more difficult, this is exactly the sort of venue where I could see Adam Scott kind of surprised. I mean, it's hard to say surprised when he's like a 50-to-1 golfer at $8,000, but
he's,
I could
see him 40-point dog to Lowry and 20-point dog to Clark at Pinnacle. That is,
it's every week, though. Like, I mean, that's every true. It's every week. He's just a massive underdog in these spots, and I probably should be utilizing my model in these situations more than I am. I actually think the bet against Clark might be worth a wager. I don't know at what book you see that at. But I don't want, well, if you have access to Pinnacle, I mean, that's obviously a sharp book, but I like Adam Scott against Wyndham Clark. Like, I'm out on Wyndham Clark this week. I think Shane Lowry's okay. I don't have a problem with him. Like, if anybody wants to play him, I'm not going to talk them out of it, but I'm indifferent to him. I like Siwoo Kim. The ownership around Corey Connors has been fluctuating all over the place. I saw 20% yesterday. I see 15% now. I don't know what you have.
For Connors?
Yes.
17.
So in the middle of those two numbers, that's higher than I would like. Like, if I'm directly comparing Connors to Fowler and Hideki, I would rather play Fowler and Hideki in those spots. I really like Ricky Fowler this week. I obviously have an outright on him, and I never get there on the Ricky Fowler card. Like, I very, very rarely play him in DFS because people are waiting. It's kind of like the Tiger answer, to where everybody wants a reason to play him. And now that he's actually somewhat good again, and I actually think he is good again, everybody's jumping back on. But this is a perfect venue for him to find success. I think it's a perfect venue for Hideki to find success. I think the Cam Young ownership is extremely intriguing. That's going to be the recent form, really. And I think people look and they see this finish last year at this venue of 60th place. And you don't realize he was leading after day one. As I said, he was near the top 10 going into Sunday before the implosion. So I think he makes a lot of sense. The one to me that I don't really know what to do with at this point, I technically still have him in my player pool, Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, that one's tough. He checks a lot of boxes for me too.
Yeah, I'm probably going. The problem is, I mean, if I start adding, you know, Spieth and Young and Hideki and Fowler and Siwoo, probably, I mean,
since he's been hurt, sorry to keep cutting you off, but since he's been hurt, his driver has gone immensely downward. I know
you don't want that here.
he gained strokes off the tee at the PGA, but distance is down. I guess maybe he tried to club down too. I don't know. I don't remember seeing a whole lot of Jordan Spieth on TV, and then misses a cut at the Schwab, just kind of interesting. But, you know, we're not too far away where he was top five at Augusta and in a playoff with Fitzpatrick at the RBC. So it's all about, you know, what do you think about the injury? So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm usually willing to take a gamble in those situations when it reduces the ownership in these spots. But like, when I am looking at ownership here, like Cameron Young and Jordan Spieth are really the two potential spots to try to get different. Like, I don't have any intrigue of doing it with Sam Burns. I kind of talked about why I like Hideki over him. There's a total driving number with Sam Burns where, like, yes, a lot of these guys, Cam Young included, will get hurt from the inaccuracy that they have. But when I ran this to mimic other venues, like, I kind of realized that Burns's distance is a really big qualifier for him, to where he didn't necessarily have any accuracy numbers that helped him out. Like, at least with Cam Young, if you have easy to hit fairways with thick rough, he seems to be able to hit them more frequently than you would expect for some of those inaccuracy numbers. So whatever that answer ends up being for why that's the case there, that's at least a positive sign to see with him. Like, Burns just continued to be bad in inaccuracy no matter where you put him. So I don't see any leverage there. I think the Gala is about the most inaccurate player off the tee that there can be. I think he can find some problems here. I don't know. I mean, he's 25th in my model. From an upside perspective, there was really nothing that it liked about him. Like, obviously the safety numbers will look good just course because history. Yeah. And the current form looks really good with him, but I don't know, at 14%, I'll let him beat me, I guess. And I don't know. Like, to me, the two difficult ones come down to Spieth and Connors, because my model likes a lot about both of them. And there is ownership around Connors, and there's going to be volatility around Spieth.
I think that's why you play GPPs. I think Spieth is perfectly in play at 8,900 if you can trust the injury stuff. But I'm not too concerned. The ball striking numbers at the Schwab aren't terrible, but yeah, I don't know. Missing the cut there's a little bit alarming. Let's go to the 7K range. I'll give you three guys I like a lot, maybe four. Let's see at the top. I mean, Henley is what he is. I think he's safe. Again, if the putting surface is pure and everything, I think that helps him a little bit. Everything else about his game is good. Griot just won, you know, obviously in great form. I love Keegan. Kind of like Cam Davis, man. And middle of the pack, I like Keith Mitchell a ton. I know that iron play is very sketchy, but Keith Mitchell sub 5% at a course where total driving should mean a lot. And I don't know. I see Keith Mitchell under 5%, so I kind of get a little goofy with it. When Denny McCarthy's three times the ownership, that's interesting to me. Harris English, I think I'll probably just stick to him in the betting market because I don't want to just go all in on English this week. KH Lee, I think that's pretty much all I like out of this range. I don't like a ton of guys. I mean, Ryan Fox is playing really well, but I don't know. I'm not really a Ryan Fox guy, but I think that's pretty much it. I don't really love Chris Kirk. Definitely won't play Kuchar. I don't care how it grades out. Philly will be interesting. I don't know, but
thoughts on Tom Kim?
I'm with it.
I like Tom Kim
that,
this
but
week.
The ownership is so high. I think he'll be in my cash game lineup. I don't know if I want. I see 14%.
I see 9.5. So I mean, obviously, that's a big difference between those two numbers. This is one of those venues where you would like to have experience here. I don't know if that's necessarily ever hurt Tom Kim in these spots, but man, some of these upside numbers that I ran for him, whether that's like a weighted tee to green or some of the weighted scoring that I had, it really liked him this week. And I don't know if I think he can necessarily win the tournament. Like, I flirted with the idea of actually trying to put him on my betting card to win this. And maybe in retrospect, if I could redo this, I would rather have him at like 60-1 than the Keegan Bradley ticket that I punched. But I think Tom Kim has legitimate equity to make a run up this leaderboard. I think you kind of talked about Russell Henley in the best way there. Ownership looks high for me. I think he kind of is what he is. I looked at accuracy this week, so I like the numbers that I got from him. Like Keegan Bradley, I'm generally okay with Gary Woodland. I probably have less ownership than you do, would be my guess, because that number plummeted for me today.
I see 5. Okay, I'm not a Gary Woody guy.
No, you are playing him in the fantasy contest against me this week. He'll win.
I do like Tom Kim though. Joe Skovrin's his caddy. That was a guy that looped with Ricky for a long time, and Ricky had a ton of success here.
Yeah, I think Tom Kim can find a lot of success. I kind of am with you on the Cameron Davis thing, to where boom or bust play sub 5%. If you want to shoot for the upside, that's fine. I also like Keith Mitchell. I was very high on Keith Mitchell a couple months ago, and the ball striking has turned south for him. But ninth in my model in total driving for this course and expectation. I think there's a lot of reasons to like him here for where he can make a run back at this. The course history has been perfectly acceptable with two consecutive top 22 finishes here. You kind of alluded to it a second ago, to where it is a more challenging field, but that ball striking can really work for him. If I'm really, really quickly running through some other names, I think Ben On is fine. I kind of like Kurt Kitayama for that same upside answer that I just gave for Cam Davis. Good long iron play. I think if he pops, he can pop in a big way. I like KH Lee. Kind of has that same thing with him. Bezuidenhout is fine. I will be playing him. And then I don't know. I mean, it's probably I'm out on most everybody else down in that range. Like, my model really likes Steven Yeager if you're using it, but I don't know, Nick. Now we're in a spot where what? He has played 3-6. This is his seventh straight start.
Yeah,
it's a ton. The finishes are progressively getting worse for him. He is randomly imploding left and right. And I don't think this is the venue where you want to start making bogeys and bunches. I kind of am vetoing my model in this spot where I'm just going to, if he beats me, he beats me, because I am concerned with what we're getting from him. The only other player I'll mention is Nikolai Højgaard. I don't know. I don't love the data that I have on him, but he continues to show us this really talented kid that if he's putting together all these made cuts, I think at the price tag and like lack of ownership that he brings to the table, there's at least a reason to consider him there. Like, I'd rather play him than like Taylor Montgomery has no ownership. Let's not use him. I'd rather play him than Brian Harman, I guess.
There we go. That's what I was going to hope you were going to say.
Yeah, I never give that answer. I kind of, I'm fine with Brian Harman too, but I'd rather shoot on the upside of Højgaard in this spot.
All right. 6K range. Do you like Davis Riley at 1% owned?
Yes.
I do too. And I feel like I don't really ever like Davis Riley a whole lot. Other guys I like in that range, I wish JT Poston would just figure it out. I'm benching him. I'm starting Robbie Shelton over JT Poston against you this week. So we'll see what happens there. Taylor Pendrith was interesting. Probably won't go there. But Will Gordon at 6,700 grades out very well for me. In my heart, too. As we all know, I love Will Gordon, but he will certainly blow up around the green. I don't know. I'm going to play him. I think he's due. I mean, he's such a good driver of the golf ball. It should put himself in great position. He's a really good iron player. He's going to miss greens. That's what he does, but we'll see what happens. I like Sam Stevens, 6,500. I probably won't go back to Alex Noren. That was just a last week play, and it was fantastic. But again, Finau killed me, so anything I had going with Noren didn't really help out. But I don't love the 6K range a whole lot. It's pretty much Will Gordon. Svensson, definitely. Yeah. But he's going to be the most popular one in that range, so probably, you know, be cognizant of that in your DFS lineups. Eric Cole, Riley, Will Gordon, and Sam Stevens are probably going to be the favorites for me.
Yeah, I'll say Svensson, Cole, Riley. I guess I am generally okay going back to that Hubbard and Neesmith range. I think Sam Stevens is fine. Robbie Shelton, I unfortunately agree with your bench in that spot of then playing Shelton. I'm not necessarily as high on Will Gordon as you are. Sometimes my model really likes him. This wasn't one of those spots where it did like him. And then the last name, he kind of is picking up traction, which surprised me, and I've never played him, but Ches Reavie. I think at 6,200, he makes a lot of sense.
Oh, God. I'm okay with it. He's playing great golf. It is what it is.
He's the most mispriced player in my model by quite a substantial number. Like, he is first. Jason Duffner would be second, which, I got to be honest, I don't hate a $6,000 Jason Duffner. I mean, like, now we're getting gross and talking about players that are like a 0.5% owned. that you're kind of just hoping that they can put it together. But it's another venue for Duffner where he has good course history. I think if the putter can be neutralized somewhat, that makes a lot of sense for him. It's the same answer I'd give for Lucas Glover. Robbie Shelton grades well. Mark Hubbard grades well. Davis Thompson grades well. Matthew Neesmith. Those are like kind of the range of players to me in that $6,000 section where if I am closing my eyes and I am just throwing a dart out there and I'm hoping for the best on pretty much every name there besides Hubbard and Reavie is going to be sub 1%. I think all those players, you could do worse than them.
That is fair. All right. That's all I have.
That is all I have also. Any other bets? Anything else that we missed?
No, I just don't love the week, DFS included. Just do not have a great read on it yet. So hopefully overnight I could start diving in a little bit more, get this player pool tightened up. But I kind of just I think it's okay if you can get two 10K guys. I hope
that's
Xander
where
wins.
I'm leaning.
That's my pick to win is Xander just because I don't have a ticket. But how the hell do all these books have Scotty and Rahm sub 10, Cantlay sub 10 if he's not 10, Rory sub 15, and then Xander gets thrown in sub 15 as well. Like, what the hell?
There's at least
put like, Xander at 20-1, you cowards, and then let me give you all my money. I don't understand.
The days of
take a chance.
The days of us not being able to get Cantlay and Xander at these 20, 25, 30-1 numbers have really ruined these boards, but I kind of thought, and it's the reason why I ended up with a lot of those 40-1 golfers like the Hidekis, the Cam Youngs, the Sungjaes. I did think a couple of those names got pushed up in value a little bit more than we would normally see. Like there's been a lot of tournaments here recently, and I'm not saying these are the correct numbers, and I'm not saying this has been accurate, but we have gotten boards that have been this bad that have also included Sungjae at 28, Cam Young in like the low 20s. You know, obviously you give and take a little bit with now Ricky being like a 45-1 golfer, but I thought these prices were somewhat doable in this 40-1 range to where we had some value even pushed up into the Siwoo Kim number. So this is probably of all the tournaments, and obviously this is the worst outright year I've ever had before. Like other than hitting Taylor Moore, this has just been every single week of me struggling to find much success. And the answer to that still stems from me not having a whole great deal of exposure. I'm really every single card's less than one unit for me. And even this week when I got more aggressive, it's 0.96 units. But I think I gave this answer when Taylor Moore hit that was my favorite outright card of the season with Jaeger and him on that. And both of them were in contention. Moore ends up winning the tournament. It's probably my second favorite outright card of the year. Not going as far as to say that I think a winner is going to come from it. I still think it's very likely that a Xander, a Cantlay, a Scheffler, a Rahm ends up stealing this. But I would kind of be surprised if this week I didn't have somebody somewhat in contention on the first page of the leaderboard that lands in the top 10. And that's a sad answer to give with the state of where these outrights have been for me right now. But I do think this will be a better outright tournament.
We'll hold that. We'll hold that quote then. We'll see what happens Sunday.
All right. So once again, you can find Nick on Twitter at StixPix. I am at TF Sports. And if you have any questions about the week from any betting perspective out there, please feel free to reach out to us at one of those handles. We should be back next week for the RBC Canadian Open. We haven't talked about it yet. I do believe we are doing a show. And then we also have a big show planned for the US Open that we are trying to put together in 2 weeks. So you won't want to miss out on that. So thanks again to everyone who makes up a part of their weekly research process. And we look forward to seeing you guys back here again next week.